Mance Winston from Governor Dayton's office. Just want to go through a couple of things before I open up the call here. So first of all, in the advisory that you got from our office, there's a couple of links that'll take you to a fact sheet about the Minnesota Care buy-in proposal. And that just might be a helpful resource for you folks to read through as you're listening to the call. Today on the call, you hear from Commissioner Emily Johnson Piper from the Department of Human Services, Senator Tony Lowry, State Representative Clark Johnson, and Lauren Gilchrist, Senior Policy Advisor for Governor Mark Dayton and Lieutenant Governor Smith. So at this time, I'll turn it over to Commissioner Piper.
Thanks, Matt. Thank you, everyone, for being on the phone this morning. So I'm Emily Piper. I'm Commissioner of Human Services, and I'm very pleased to have this conversation with you and Senator Lowry and Representative Johnson about the Governor's Minnesota Care buy-in proposal for this legislative session. This proposal helps Minnesotans all across the state make sure that they have stability in health care for 2018 and going forward. I know that particularly in Greater Minnesota, there has been a really significant challenge not only with exorbitant premium increases that people have experienced in the last year buying on the individual health insurance market, but additionally, many concerns that there will not be competition, that there won't be access to coverage in portions of Minnesota. And so what this proposal does is it makes sure that people have at least one high-quality insurance option to purchase. This proposal is self-funding and requires people to pay a premium for the coverage, but it ensures that we are able to guarantee for people across the state that they will have at least one high-quality insurance product to purchase for their healthcare needs. And if the legislation is passed by April 1st, we'll be able to provide that assurance to the people of Minnesota for the 2018 insurance market. So with that, I'm happy to turn it over to Senator Lowry to talk more about this.
Well, and I'd like to thank everyone for joining as well, and I'm really pleased to be here supporting the governor's Minnesota Care buy-in proposal. I think, you know, coming from rural Minnesota, you know, people out in greater Minnesota actually really know that Minnesota Care is a program that works. It's worked for over 20 years. I think it was 1992, nearly 25 years. So this is something that rural Minnesota has really come to rely on, and I've heard many, many times people saying, well, why don't you just open up Minnesota Care? And that's exactly what the governor's proposal does. You know, I think that with the changes that we saw in the individual market and the absolute limiting of the number of choices available to consumers, particularly in greater Minnesota, where there's not that much competition in providers, and there's almost no competition in the carrier marketplace, I think it's particularly important that we bring this additional option for people to choose. It has worked for people, and you know, one of the things that really helps a great deal is that Minnesota Care has a long history of really broad buy-in by the providers across rural Minnesota, so that people have a choice to select the doctor and the product that works best for them and their families. And I think that would continue as we leverage Minnesota's buying power that's available on our public programs to make this available, you know, similar to a qualified health plan on the individual market. And with that, I'll turn it over to Representative Johnson.
Yeah, thank you. Clark Johnson. I represent District 19A, which is all of Neclet County, part of Mankato and Kasota in Le Sueur County. It's very clear to me, based on the experience with the rate increases last fall and the retreat from the market from some important options, that Minnesotans need options in the individual healthcare market. And I really believe that Minnesota Care is a very viable option for many, many families. The fact is that where I live, people know about Minnesota Care, and they like it. And it's kind of past the test of time, it's well established, and so we're not introducing something brand new here, but actually a product that can help families meet their health insurance and therefore their health care needs. I had surprisingly large number of conversations in September and October about the premium rate increases, and I had these conversations with people at their doorstep. And so when I heard people's concerns about this, I almost always asked, would you consider, what do you think about if you could buy into MinnesotaCare and as an option on the market? And people really responded. First, it seemed like they knew what I was talking about, and secondly, they were very positive about it. And I think it is the sort of thing that Minnesotans are looking for. And so to put this out there and make this available in the 2018 market, I think is really important.
Great. This is Lauren Gilchrist from the Governor's Office. I just want to mention a couple of additional details regarding this proposal. Just to be clear, the current Minnesota program that's offered to people between 138 and 200% of poverty would stay in place. It would remain unchanged. What we're talking about, as been described, is a buy-in option for people who are above 200% of poverty. Senator Lori mentioned that this MinnesotaCare buy-in will be a qualified health plan. That means that it would be offered through MnSure, and when people are shopping for insurance for 2018 during open enrollment, they would see MinnesotaCare buy-in as one as, you know, any of the options that may be available. And so it's important to note that for people who are between 200% and 400% of poverty, people would be eligible to receive federal tax credits as long as those are in place and apply those to the MinnesotaCare buy-in product. So the product itself, as Commissioner Piper mentioned, is self-sustaining. The premiums do sustain the program after an initial upfront investment to get the operations going. But people will also be able to use this product as they do any other product in the commercial market today as a qualified health plan and receive federal tax credits if their income eligible for that. I also actually want to mention one other thing about the timeline. It's really important that the legislature consider this thoroughly, but also act quickly on this proposal. Because of the filing deadlines that the Minnesota Department of Commerce has for qualified health plans and has for the health insurers, we need to make sure that the legislature would act by April 1st at the very latest in order to make sure we can make this product available for Minnesotans.
Matt Swenson again. Just a couple of last things just to follow up on before we turn it over to questions. I wanted to point out that on your fact sheet you'll notice, as Senator Lori mentioned, this program has been around and it's worked for 25 years and was initially a great bipartisan success led by Governor Arnie Carlson in 1992. Just wanted to point that out and then reiterate again what Lauren Gilchrist mentioned, that any folks who choose to buy into MinnesotaCare would pay their own way, and the cost of their premiums would pay for their care. And now we'll turn it over to...
Could I add one additional just point? I think it's been made kind of, but I'd like to really reiterate, particularly in greater Minnesota, we were on the verge of a complete collapse of the individual market with no product offerings whatsoever. And, you know, Commissioner Rothman and the governor negotiated something, but there's no guarantee that the private carriers are going to offer anything in greater Minnesota. That's why it's so particularly important that we have something to make sure that people have options. And I'm not at all convinced that what we have so far, nothing in any of the bills that have been considered so far comes anywhere close to actually stabilizing a marketplace for 2018 and beyond. And so we need something that will actually have options available for people.
All right, we'll open it up for questions, Jacqueline.
At this time, I would like to remind everyone, in order to ask a question, please press star, then the number one on your telephone keypad. Again, that is star one on your telephone keypad. We'll pause for just a moment to compile the Q&A roster. Your first question comes from the line of Kevin Featherly from Minnesota Law. Your line is open.
Hi, I dialed in actually before the thing was supposed to start, but I was on hold for a few moments, so I don't know what the first few statements were. I'd like to get the audio of that later. But as to the question, it seems as though the Republicans certainly don't have any taste for this, as far as I can tell. Is this the kind of thing that the governor is going to have to utilize the leverage of perhaps withholding the tax bill in order to make this happen? I mean, is this really a realistic option given the legislative makeup at the moment?
I think that's probably a good question for the governor at a news conference when you see him sometime this week, Kevin. But I'll make sure to follow up to get you the audio that...
I would like the opinion of the elected leaders that are there. They have to deal with the politics as well.
You know, I think that this absolutely has to move on a different timeline than the tax bill. So, I mean, there's that really important factor. This has to be passed by April 1st at the very latest if we're going to be able to operationalize it. And I don't see any way we're going to have a tax bill negotiated by within that timeline. That's going to be towards the end of session. I mean, I think that there is room in here to work with our friends and colleagues on the other side of the aisle and try to incorporate some of their ideas into this. But I think that when we put it to them that if they ask, I've asked all the carriers myself, are you going to be there for 2018 in Greater Minnesota? I mean, in the metro, you know, there's a lot of competition. I'm fairly confident there would be some product offerings in the metro, but I can't get a carrier to tell me that based on anything that they're seeing so far, that they're confident they're going to have any product offerings in 2018. And we need to get that across the finish line by April 1st, and so I don't see it getting tied up with the tax bill. It's either going to pass or not on its merits, and we're going to be trying to work with people and seeing what we can get accomplished.
And this is Clark Johnson. I don't work from your premise necessarily. I've talked to several Republican colleagues in the House and asked them to be open to it, and they've responded positively. Remember, my Republican rural colleagues have heard the same thing at the door that I heard during the campaign. We recognize it's really clear out in the countryside that this is a really important issue. As Senator Lori said, will there be a market? Will there be options for our neighbors to buy into the individual health care insurance market? My Republican colleagues know that, and I respect them. And I anticipate, I have every reason to believe that they will be open to new ideas, and I am asking them to be open to those, and I will be seeking a hearing on it.
Thank you.
Again, if you would like to ask a question, please press star, then the number one on your telephone keypad. There are no further questions at this time. I'll turn the call back over to the presenters. Oh, we do. We have a question from Jeremy Olson from the Star Tribune. Your line is open.
Hey, just a quick question on the, thanks for this call, on potential resistance to this proposal. Have you heard much or contacted the hospitals or the doctors? If you increase Minnesota Care, you increase the rates at which they pay, which typically have been lower than private insurance, and so you could be undercutting our hospitals and clinics that are struggling to make ends meet. Are you concerned about that causing some backlash to the proposal?
This is Emily Piper. I hope that our partners in our health systems, hospitals, other providers are open to looking at the governor's package as a whole. He also proposes increases, particularly a 54% rate increase in medical assistance in Minnesota Care for dental providers, and proposes some rate increases for primary care and mental health care. So I hope that looking at the whole that people consider this as part of a broader package that the governor is proposing. Additionally, I would say that, yes, it is true that medical assistants in Minnesota Care often pay lower rates than private insurance plans do. That said, I would say that many providers all across the state have benefited significantly from more people having health insurance overall, including 300,000 additional people who are on public health care programs. And that's evidenced by the lowering of uncompensated care for providers all across the state of Minnesota. And so they're benefiting from more people having health insurance overall, as well as anyone else.
I would add to that, this is Senator Lori, that, you know, the rates that are paid to, you know, managed care organizations and hospitals and providers are actually negotiated rates, and that will have to be the case as we move this product forward as well. And we do need to have these conversations with providers and make sure that it can work for everybody, but that's what the legislative process is built to do, is to have those meaningful conversations and take a look at, you know, what else there is out there to stabilize the market. Again, I actually don't see any proposals out there that have any assurance that there's any product availability, particularly in greater Minnesota. And faced with, large numbers of uninsured, I'm hopeful that we can bring the provider community along.
To the point of the prior question, I would challenge opponents of this proposal to answer the question, why not do this? Why not do this for the people of Minnesota? And if they oppose it, what's their alternative to the governor's proposal? And does that alternative ensure that people all across the state, regardless of where they live, have access to good quality health insurance coverage? And so I challenge the opponents of this proposal to provide answers to those questions going forward.
Furthermore, this might be a case where the citizens of Minnesota are ahead of what's going on in St. Paul. Because again, remember, the key thing that they care about is that next fall when they get into that market is that they have an option that works for their family. And I think they recognize that Minnesota Care definitely has the possibility to work well for their family.
Any other questions, Jacqueline?
Yes, we have a question from Mark Zeschlick from Minnesota Public. Your line is open.
Hi, thanks a lot. Can you tell me by name what Republicans in the legislature are open to expanding Minnesota Care as being proposed?
As a member of the House, I have a lot of private conversations with colleagues, and I'm just going to leave it at that. I really believe that there's members of the House that are open to it, that will look at it, and will consider it with appropriately. I think sometimes the assumption that my Republican colleagues are not open to new ideas, I don't think is fair. And I just think that this is an important issue, and I'm confident that there are members that want to at least take a look at it. And I think that's a fair ask. The governor's asking for it, so I do expect that it will get some sort of a hearing in the House and the Senate, and allow the public to take a look at it. Remember, this is less about, in many ways, it's less about the DFL and the GOP members of the House and the Senate. This is more about Minnesotans meeting their health care needs for their families.
Mark, this is Emily Piper. Senator Michelle Benson has publicly stated that she would have a hearing on the governor's proposal for the Minnesota Care buy-in in the Senate.
Okay, thank you.
Your next question comes from the line of Nancy Madsen from St. Peter Herald. Your line is open.
Good morning. My question is, I believe last year a similar proposal required a federal waiver. Is that still the case, and what effect could that have on the timeline for getting this through?
Hi, Nancy. This is Emily Piper. This does require a federal waiver, and so we have a timeline laid out where that's one of the reasons, frankly, that we need the legislature to approve this by and bring a bill to the governor by April 1st, because the timeline is tight. We have to put out an RFP. We have to staff up our call center. We have to apply for and receive a federal waiver, and we have to develop and file our rates with the Commerce Department all before early this summer. And so that is one of the reasons, one of the items that we need to do this spring in advance of filings.
Okay, thanks.
Your next question comes from the line of Kevin Featherly, Minnesota lawyer. Your line is open.
I appreciate that. My question was answered. Thank you.
You have no further questions. I'll turn the call back over to the presenters.
Okay, thanks a million, everybody. Everybody have a great day.